Hey everyone, it's Greg with the podcast series Experience Asheville. Today I have the privilege of being at Bramari Brewing with the head brewer, Gary. And we're going to talk a little bit more about beer in Asheville. It's such a huge part of the culture here. So I'm privileged to be here. Thanks for being a guest.
My pleasure.
And as most people know, the listeners know, before we get into the history of you guys and what's going on, let's just talk about where you're from originally and how you ended up in Asheville.
Okay, yeah. I grew up in New Jersey and left there to go to culinary school in Denver, Colorado. From Denver, Colorado, moved to San Diego, moved from San Diego to San Francisco, moved from San Francisco to the Virgin Islands, and then from the Virgin Islands, moved to Asheville.
And sort of what drew you to Asheville? You've been all over. I didn't even know that.
It was just a cool scene. You know, it seemed up and coming. There was a food scene there, so there was work. So that was important. We were pregnant at the time, so it was a good place, seemingly, to raise a child.
Pretty safe area, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so you're down in the Virgin Islands. Which sort of still blows me away because I've known you guys for a while. So you come up here, and how did you get into brewing before, or was that something that you sort of wanted to get into when you got here?
So I started brewing when I was in San Francisco.
Okay.
There was a homebrew shop on my bike route to the restaurant I was working at the time, and you know, I had an extra $100 or so bucks in my pocket, and I picked up a brew kit, you know, like brewed a bag, and started doing some kitchen wizardry, and you know, got the bug and fell down the rabbit hole.
That was the end of that.
Landed here, I guess.
So you have a cooking background, mm-hmm. So your creativity from your cooking sort of carried over into the brewing.
Okay.
And let's talk about, I know your involvement here, you're the head brewer. Let's talk about Bramari Brewing. Give people a little history of the name. I'm sure that comes up all the time, but with all the listeners we have, can you just talk about where the name came from?
Sure, yeah. Bramari is a Sanskrit word. I believe the first word documented describing bees. So the name kind of came from there. It's also a wrathful Hindu goddess of black bees and pranayama yoga breathing technique. But you know, we really focus on the bee theme.
Right, and if people see their logo, they'll see that your bee's sort of sitting on top of a hop.
Uh-huh, yeah. People assume that we make mead for like braggots or honey beer. We use a lot of honey in our beer. We just like bees.
Okay. I'm with it. I think the logo's badass myself.
Yeah, for sure. We had a local artist do our logo for us, Eric Johansson. He's a super talented dude.
Cool. Now, you've been here a couple years, right?
Yeah. About 10 years.
And how long's the business? You've been here, the business has been open?
Business has been here since January 2016. We occupied this building for a year before that, building it out.
Killer location.
Great location, for sure.
And talk about like some of the challenges you faced as a new business. I mean, all new businesses, breweries, whatever they may be, as we both know, have their giant hurdles.
All of them.
Space, financial.
Every single one of them, yeah. You know, capital, timing, patience. We've run the gambit as far as adversity goes, but I think there's one theme. We're all really persistent and passionate, so we just kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel before we even enter the tunnel.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, at least you can see some light, right?
Yeah.
And you guys, when you opened, you decided to not only have a restaurant, but also have liquor, which is a little unique compared to some of what was going on here. You want to talk about what made you go down that route?
We just wanted there to be a seat for every ass, so to speak. So have a little bit of something for everybody. Not everybody drinks craft beer. And especially people come in as a group, and one person, a couple people in that group are enthusiastic about craft beer, and the others may just not care. So we like to have a little bit of something for everybody. So we do like house-made sangria. We have a carefully curated liquor and wine list, and we do some nice cocktails.
And killer food. Good food. Yeah. Great burgers, and all their food's great. I'm a little prejudiced to the burger. And how did you end up in this location specifically? I know it was an older building, but now you're like in the thick of everything going on between South Slope and downtown. So how'd you find this particular spot?
We just kind of saw this little area of Asheville growing and developing, and wanted to be a part of the community that was developing in this area. And we looked at a couple different spots, and you know, things fall through, and for whatever reason, and this one we saw was open. And I've always looked at this building like it's such a cool spot, such a great location, so much space. It really sung to us, and we were able to get it.
With parking and a deck.
With parking, yeah. Well, we built the deck, you know. Yeah. We built it, they would come.
All right, let's talk about the beer. How long did it take you to really figure out your system and get consistent good beer and really get your arms around what was going on?
I had the built-in advantage of understanding flavor profiles as a cook, and years and years of home brewing. And there were challenges as far as adapting to a large scale system. It definitely took a few brews before I really figured it out. And then even, I guess, you kind of figure out after that what the public wants. You know, what trends are happening.
I'm going to interrupt you. Do you follow that, or do you sort of still go with what you want to brew or what you're good at, or you try to do mix it?
I'm really fortunate to. I brew what I want to drink. You know, like, I just brew the beer that I want to drink, and people seem to also want to drink that, which is great. So I get to really do whatever I want. I'm not brewing for anybody other than myself. But I also, you know, I definitely take note of what the trends are, and just, I've got a very strong finger on the pulse of what's happening out in the beer scene, and travel a lot and see what other areas of the country are doing.
What's going on now? Is it still IPA? Someone told me the other day,
IPA is always beer.
And then the sour thing came in. Is there anything next that's happening? Or
who knows? Glitter beer. just try to keep it fresh and interesting and creative, and try to tickle our own fancies here and tickle everybody else as well.
Is there anything that makes your beer a little bit different that you can isolate? Is there one or two things that you do, or do you just depends on what you're brewing?
I mean, you know, we're not afraid to do really off the wall things. There's really no holds barred here. So if there's some sort of, my guys will come to me with some sort of crazy ingredient or idea, and we're like, hell yes, let's try it out. You know, we have a small little barrel pilot system, which gives us the ability to really play. So if we make, you know, one barrel or something, and it's just too weird, you know, and like we don't like it, it doesn't pass through our sensory, it goes down the drain, and it's not the end of the world. But also, you know, also gives us the freedom to know that we're not committed to, you know,
to massive
yeah,
amounts.
So it's like, okay, cool, we want to throw this weird ingredient in here, try this new technique. Absolutely, let's go for it.
And then you have your staples that sort of make, that are consistent and that you have distribution on, that you can find it throughout just North Carolina? I know, like, Ingalls and some of the, so you have distribution in all of North Carolina?
For
your lunch, yeah, okay. Yeah. And that's three or four of your staples?
So we've got four flagships.
Okay.
And then we do a fair amount of seasonal one-off batches, reoccurring,
trendy, well, a one, like a seasonal, like a,
yeah, like we'll have,
not
we'll,
a pumpkin,
we'll have
but something,
series.
Yeah,
like
okay.
We have our All the Boys Milkshake IPA series, which we'll put out a couple times a year, and we'll just change the hop and the fruit profile. So the first one we did was a mango lychee, and different types of hops that complemented those specific fruits, and then we did a guava graham cracker one, which kind of changed it up. We're about to put passion fruit, dragon fruit milkshake IPA. That's the next edition of All the Boys. Do we have a release date?
We can come back to that.
Okay.
Let's talk about, so you got this crazy creativity, which I love, and you also have this unique sort of special cool art, not on all your cans and just throughout the entire brewery. Who's doing that? I mean, it's very consistent, but super unique.
So we've got a couple different artists. They're all local tattoo artists. Brew, World's Integrity Alliance, is responsible for a lot of our really amazing art. with Daniel Schoenfeld, who works at Rising Sparrow Tattoo. He's responsible for a lot of really cool artwork that we've got. Kimi Leger, who owns Sacred Lotus. Esther has done one of our cans for us.
So you're using local people, but you keep friends. It pretty consistent. Yeah, yeah.
There are friends of mine that are super talented, passionate people that I have the privilege of working with on a professional landscape, which is awesome.
So,
Also, they'll basically give us the raw art, and then we'll give it to Big Ridge Design Firm, and they'll put it together so that it's in the format for the cans or bottles.
Right, so it fits the proper shape. And
they're really good at what they do, too, and they're also super creative and artistic, and I think we're all on a very similar wavelength, which brings it to fruition in this, like, cohesive, amazing, beautiful manner.
It's pretty cool. I just went to school for some art, but I can't even touch the creativity that goes on. Let's go back to the beer for a second. Your favorite beer or the best beer you think you've brewed?
Oh, man. yeah, I don't know. It changes all the time. Yeah. it's the newest one on.
It's going to be the new milkshake beer, and then it'll be something else.
Yeah, whatever the newest one is, pretty much the main.
So, let's talk about Asheville. It continues to add breweries.
Yeah.
Can it continue to sustain it? I mean, it's got to reach a breaking point, but let's just talk about that in your own opinion.
I guess we'll see. I think the landscape is changing as far as, you know, big production breweries. We're starting to see a little bit of decline, whereas the local neighborhood breweries very much finding their spots in the community. It's interesting evolution of the craft beer scene, watching over the years. I think the people in this are very creative and malleable and understand what's going on. So I think we do have the ability to sustain. We've already sustained it this far. People said, "What, we've been saturated for how long now?"
Right.
You know, when we first opened, people were like, "They're crazy. We don't need another brewery. There's no more niche to be filled." But there was, and there is. And I think people are craving it. We'll see.
I think too, being on the smaller side, it gives you the ability to change, like you said. Like, I don't think some of the big guys can shift that big ship quickly, and you guys can say, you know what, I want to start making this, and you're not committed to this unbelievable capacity of some beer that you have to streamline because of your systems.
For sure, yeah.
Everyone talks about the competition in town, if you want to call it that. But I think what a lot of people don't understand is you're sort of friends. Most of the brewers around here are friends and communicate on a regular basis. Can you just talk about that? I mean, I think it keeps everyone honest because there are so many.
Mm-hmm.
But talk about that. I know I see a bunch of you guys around each other's establishments for sure.
It's awesome. It's really awesome. It's an honor to be a part of Asheville's brewing scene. Have made the friends that I had in this scene. And everybody really gets along. And we all are rising the tides of the Asheville beer scene together, and we push each other and we create with each other. We'll all have, you know, have beers with each other, and everybody.
And even collaborate sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there's a huge collaborative nature to what we do in general. And we're all so close to each other. You know, we all learn from each other, help each other out when we need it, which is, I mean, so many of the brewers when we were starting out. Really, like, we couldn't have done it without their help and support. And now that some of the other breweries are coming up, we have the opportunity to lend that help.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to ask. You know, we're talking about the other breweries, and I'm here to help promote you guys, but when you sneak out, where do you go grab a beer?
I'll go to my house mostly.
walking distance, yeah.
I go Twin Lake a lot. Go to Highwire.
Some of the local guys, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, for the most part, my house.
So, do me a favor. Tell people where your location is here physically, and where they can find you on social media if they want to find out more about you guys.
Sure, yeah. Our location is right on the corner of Hilliard and Lexington.
Behind Orange Peel?
Yeah, block west of the Orange Peel. We occupy pretty much between Lexington and Church Street on Hilliard, a good chunk of the block right there. And what's the other part of it?
Just social media.
You can find us on social media at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
All of it.
All the
okay.
The usual suspects.
Is there
Grindr?
Coming up, any specific events you want to share that you guys are participating in, or?
Yeah, we're really excited to be holding our first beer festival that we've orchestrated within these walls.
Really? I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it's called Above the Clouds. It's a celebration of hazy and hoppy beer. We've got a really great list of damn near 30 breweries from all over the country.
Date?
Coming in on October 7th.
Okay.
And we're doing, Chef Josh is doing a whole hog barbecue.
Where are you putting everybody?
We're going to go into the parking lot.
Okay.
And, yeah, we got this, like, 450-pound hog. We're going to be doing it's going to be pretty awesome. We're going to have some local vendors, some art vendors, and Sunshine Sammy's, our neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Some ice cream sandwiches. Just a really strong selection of beers that you really can't find anywhere else.
That's pretty exciting.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
I don't know. I haven't even heard about that, but I'm going to make sure.
This is like really the first public promotion we've done of it. So,
who's coming from out of town?
We've got a pretty long list. We're doing a collaboration first and foremost with Listerman Brewing out of Cincinnati. We're doing a Lucuma Milkshake IPA. Lucuma is a Peruvian, like custardy Peruvian fruit. And we're going to release that 16-ounce 4-pack on that day. So they're coming from Cincinnati. We've got Hacienda Beer Co., New Anthem, our neighbors Highwire, Pontoon Brewing, Listerman Brewing.
Wow.
Crystal Coast Brewing, Appalachian Mountain Brewing, Svendale.
It's
Lord Hobo, Dream Chasers, Resident Culture, Twin Leaf, Mantra Arts and Ales, Madco,
How cool.
Ass Clown, New Serum, Urban Artifact.
So I gotta ask, Kettle, is it free?
One World. It is,
or you gotta pay to get it?
$15 for two beers and a custom made glass.
Cool.
For the festival only, so.
That's super exciting. Did you miss someone?
We got Saloon, White Labs, Bond Brothers, Southern Pines, Wise Man, Sidetracked Brewing, Brewery Bavana, Forbidden Root. We're doing a collaboration with the Homebrew Chapter Malt. We're going to be releasing that on the day of as well. Trophy Brewing. That's all the confirmed breweries for now, but we've got a couple more like special surprises.
That's pretty.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Anything else that you want to share about the brewery or in general before I ask you one of my last questions I ask everyone? And anything else you want to share at all? I mean, just so the listeners know, have a great restaurant with a pretty cool menu. Also do Sunday brunch, cocktail bars, like we said. Anything else you want to mention about what's going on?
I think we touched on a lot about it. I think we painted a pretty broad stroke of what we're about and what we do. Yeah, come check us out. We've got a great, great location, great friendly service.
Great beer.
Great beer.
All right. So last question, and I always close with it. When you're not here, and you got a secret place that you can go, restaurant, hike, breweries, anywhere that you sort of sneak away to?
Waterfalls. I'll take the dogs out and the kid and hike to. Try to do a different waterfall every time. We have our favorites.
So I just want to touch on that for 1 second.
Sure.
So I know you personally for a long time, and you acquired a new dog, but I need to tell listeners, you possibly have one of the smallest dogs on earth and one of the largest dogs on earth.
Yep.
So if you're ever here and you see an Anatolian Shepherd, and
it's like a puppy on mutt.
Yeah, so that you probably have like a 4-pound dog and a 140-pound dog. It's amazing. But anyway, so I really want to thank Gary for being here, and please come out and check out Bramari Brewing. They have a great scene, great operation, great beer. I'm Greg with Experience Asheville. You can check me out at Greg and Incline Adventures. And thanks for listening, and we'll check in with you again next week.